Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you, Father, for each soul that's here, for the heads that are bowed in your presence. And I pray you, Father, please, that you would honour us as we have honoured you this evening. Well, and Lord, with the rest of our lives. Father, you know all the things we have on our hearts and minds, and I pray that you would sift through them with us and help us with them, Lord. And pray, and most importantly, that your will would be done. And for those that can't be here, Lord, we think on Esther and Will and Leonard and Father, all those that have even been and gone, those that have slipped and slid. Father, please, I pray for a great restoration. For the leaders of our country, Lord, I pray for a great conviction upon them. I pray for an awareness of sin and judgment to come. I pray, O Lord, for a concern for their immortal souls. Pray you too, Lord, for leaders right the way across the world and for the very same. Please, Lord, I pray you save lost souls. And for our sister churches, wherever they might be, I pray your good hand upon them too. Whatever day they claim as their midweek service, Lord, and turn up to praise and worship you and listen to your word, I pray you, please, Father, work there. Lord, for the leaflets that have gone out, for the work, the testimonials that have been shared, for the preaching that has been done, Lord, please, please, even now, work in people's hearts and minds. Lord, we love you and thank you. Pray that you would lead us and guide us through the service, and most importantly, that your will would be done. Thank you, Lord, for the good weather, the work in the church, for answered prayers, for being able just to open our hearts to you, Lord. And Father, we leave all of this at your feet. And pray all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's take our hymn books this evening. And if you would like to turn to hymn number 178. 178. It's not 178. Hymn number 27. It's machine number 178. Nearer, my God, to thee in the wee black hymn books. Nearer, my God, to thee, hymn number 27 in the black hymn book. Take it that answers the question. We do need it at the top as well. Amen. Let's make a joyful noise.
Nearer to thee. stars forgot, upward I'll fly. Still all my song shall be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee.
Amen. Yes, indeed. Hymn number 16, if you'd like to take and turn there. Hymn number 16. He lifted me, and if you're able, we'll stand as we sing.
And he lifted me with tender hand. He lifted me from shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise his name. He lifted me. He called me long before I heard, before my sinful heart was stirred. And he lifted me with tender hand. He lifted me from shades of light to flames of light. Oh, praise his name. He lifted me. His brow was pierced with many a thorn. His hands by cruel nails were torn. And he lifted me with tender hand. He lifted me from shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise his name. He lifted me. Now on a higher plane I dwell, and with my soul I notice well. Should have lifted me from sinking sand. He lifted me with tender hand. He lifted me from shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise his name. He lifted me.
Amen. May be seated. Norman, if you're good to read, you come on ahead, brother.
Seeing his reading is from the book of Hosea chapter 8. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, but I knew it not. of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Thy calf, O Samaria, is cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? For from Israel was it also, the workman made it. Therefore it is not God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up, now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. For they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim hath hired lovers. Yea, those they have hired among the nations, now will I gather them, and they shall sorrow a little for the burden of the king of princes. Because Ephraim hath made many altars of sin, altars shall be unto him to sin. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. They sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of mine offerings, and eat it, but the Lord accepteth them not. Now will he remember their iniquity, and visit their sins, and shall return to Egypt. For Israel hath forgotten his Maker, and hath built the temples, and Judah hath multiplied bent cities. But I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. Amen.
Thank you, Norman. Amen. Good to see everybody here this evening. We're glad to have Frank. Made it over safe and sound. It's nice to see you there, Frank. Amen. Anybody got any prayer requests? Yes, Pat.
Emily, she's having that brain scan tomorrow.
Grand job. Well, it'll be passed. When she got the results for it.
I pray the Lord can keep her awake all night.
Oh, goodness. Well, we'll be praying about that. We'll have a note to that effect for the next prayer request, but that's Pat and Steve's wee granddaughter. Is that the one that said about God's big foot coming down and stepping on you? She has a very black and white view of life, which is not a bad thing.
But
so please pray for wee Emily. She's a character in a good way. Amen. We also have Taylor travelling on Friday evening, stroke Saturday morning. So please do pray for her. Is she coming back into Dublin again, is it? And Christy then, as he travels down to get her in his vehicle. So please do remember that. Please remember that family, that man, Jeff and his wife, Pat, Colin, that Stan asked for us to mention in prayer that she went into hospital for some procedure and found out that she had cancer and metastasized through her body. So please do pray for her. And do pray for that Lady Anne Lamb that fell and cracked her knee. I also have, we appreciate your prayers, by the way, for the weather and for being able to get the work done in the church. It may not seem like very much, but that's Norman's fault. No, it's not. It's just there's been a fair wee bit of poking around and, I was going to say, getting rid of dead wood and rotten wood, and there's been a wee bit of scratching of heads, mostly mine, and we're getting there. We replaced the old timber, and most of it was rotten, I think, maybe but for half a panel, and we're putting a thermal layer and a damp layer in as well, so things are about to hot up in the at the back of the church, at least on one of the walls, and we're hoping as time goes on that maybe we'll get this one done as well. Eventually the whole church will be thermally wrapped, and it'll be easier to heat and keep warm. I have one other thing. I need one more document signed by the trustees and two witnesses, all of whom I see here. So that'll work for me. Remind me to get that piece of paper out and get everybody signed on it. And just a wee, if you want to prick your finger as well, and you can put a spot of blood on it. Don't you have to do that when you're dealing with the devil, isn't it?
I haven't got a knife. I'm not really.
So somebody remind me about that at the end of the service. Does anybody else have any other prayer requests? Yes, Steve.
I'd like us to pray for the folks in, is it Louisiana? Or is it, where's that state where they do the Mardi Gras and all that?
Nolu. Excuse me.
Well, they're having a, wherever it is, they're having a really bad time with hurricanes.
Deep south.
There's a loss of lives and everything like that. And we'll pray right now, some flooding. Terrible things going on.
Yes, indeed. Amen. Anything else? All good? Glad to hear it. I have private prayer requests down for myself and Monica, Ling, Steve, Pat, Will and Norman. Does anybody else want their name off of it or on it? Everybody's still got private prayer requests. Please do. The Lord knows what they are. Just look around the church and I am sure that each one of us has private prayer requests. Things that we don't want to give details for, but we would certainly like the Lord to weigh in on it or to be reminded about. So please do remember that. I think that's about that then this evening. Okay. If there's anything else, make sure I write it down in that piece of paper or it never happened. Is that what they say? It's not written. It's not.
We know this. I've been for about 10 years.
Go back 14 years.
Yeah, you know, blessing. Is it 14?
Did you forget? Anyway, let's pray, and then we'll sing another song or two. Christy, if you would pray for us, please, brother.
Church as well, Lord, and for the purchase of the land, we pray to provide in that and to keep well or good as well. If that happened for Taylor, she travels, Lord, to keep her safe there as well. Lord, that you would just meet the needs in the city of the Lord, using the church, Lord, that we could be that faithful witness and light to our communities, Lord, our family and friends, Lord, and they could see your own glory through us. Save the lost in the city, Lord, try to spread suicide far from here, close abortion clinics, we pray, Lord, that you did the cage. Lord, just convict our leaders, Lord, and help them too this time as well. Be with Israel, remember the people of Louisiana, Lord, for the situation in Afghanistan as well, Lord, we pray for as well. Watch over our missionaries, Lord, provide their needs, Lord, give them gifts, Lord, and comfort and encouragement at this time as well, we pray. Lord, be with Mark as he proclaims your word this evening as well, provide his needs in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, brother. Hi. I have Steve's special song. Which one was it? Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to me. I'm surprised.
Just pray for Steve and Pat. He's probably going to go crazy tomorrow whenever he's 68. 67, sorry.
He's
not 26. Look at that face. It doesn't say, look to the face to the left of him. That says more 26 than that face. Because he lives.
Thank you.
Amen. Hymn number 26 in the black book. Amen.
And happy birthday to you. Preemptively.
God sent his son. Love, heal, and forgive. He is there to prove my Savior lives? Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because He knows, I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
Amen. Good pick. How's about we try 301? Was it that time? Did we already sing two hymns after the Bible reading? I didn't think we did.
Just probably looked a wee bit puzzled there and thought I was maybe sneaking in an extra hymn.
Oh no, don't tell me we have to praise the Lord again.
No. Hymn number 301, Sweet Hour of Prayer, if you're able, and stand with me as we sing.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care, and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by Thy return, sweet hour of prayer.
Sweet hour
of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, Thy wings shall my to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless, and since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. May I thy consolation share till from my Pisgah's lofty height I do my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh shall drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize, and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer.
Amen. Now we'll open our Bibles. We're away back in the Old Testament again, not too far away from Hosea. We're going to be in Nehemiah. If you'd like to take and turn there, Book of Nehemiah. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. Go halfway through your Bible and turn back a book or two to the Book of Nehemiah chapter 1. I'd like to spend a few minutes on the long and short of it. The long prayer. The long and short of it. So, we're in Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1, and we're going to read a wee bit of chapter number 2 as well. Amen. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name, and prosper, I pray you, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now, I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. And then I was very sore afraid. And said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? And the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant hath found favour in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me to Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, For how long shalt thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Amen. Just a few minutes this evening on the subject of prayer and the long and short of it. Amen. Let's have another one. Steve, are you okay to pray, or do you want to give that a miss?
Blessed Father, we come to your presence in the holiest of all, Lord. Again, Lord, to give praise and thanks for all the blessings we have received this week. Lord, for the good will you've bestowed upon us, Lord, especially for the work to be done on you, we bless your worship, Father. I pray, Lord, that you will grant us more good weather so the work can be done, and Lord, that all be done according to your will, Father. Lord, I ask you, Lord, for a blessing on Taylor, as he is in America with the folks, Lord, it should be a blessing to her father, Lord, with the time that she has. And Lord, that you grant her journey's mercy back home, Lord, with the appointed time. And also for Chris, Lord, he goes down to pick it up as well, Lord, and bring it up safely. I give thanks, Lord, for Frank and Lane's journey back here, Lord. Lord, you kept them safe. And Lord, that you just bless the time together, Lord. And bless Dr. Shang as well as his young man. Lord, I ask, Lord, if you will, just bless the stress of. Lord, that you would just lay your healing touch of grace upon her, Lord. Lord, just heal her and comfort her and strengthen her. And be with Tina as well this month, as she will stay with her. And for Christmas too. Lord, I ask the Lord for a blessing, Lord, on the children, Lord, and the women and children in Afghanistan right now, Lord. And other parts of the world where children are persecuted, Lord. Lord, we tiny girls and boys and they've just been built and beaten and used at power. Lord, please put a terrible put a stumbling block before these terrible people, Lord. And do these things to them. Make them see the horror of their ways, Lord. And Lord, we know that they have souls, but Lord, we pray, Lord, that you just convict them of the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, Lord, to change from their ways, Lord, as Taliban and whatever. And Lord, just turn to you and accept your Savior. I pray for our world leaders, Lord, especially Biden and Johnson, and the leaders here too, around the world, Lord, that they would just realize, if they just read the Bible, Father, they would see that countries that have fallen away from you will not prosper. So let them come back to you, Father, and put you first, and let them become Christian countries. Once again, Lord, they would thrive, we would all thrive, Father, in your name, and be Christian countries once again. Lord, now I ask, Lord, for a blessing on Mark, your servant, Lord, to me. May you bless him, Lord, and his wife, Monica, to me. Give peace and rest to them, Lord, and bless their house that they live in. You grant to them easy come to our holy God, and grant Mark tonight the words to speak to his Father. May they be a blessing, Lord, to his time to his Lord. Either way, Father, please, let us take your words on with us, Lord, and apply them to our lives. Ask for a blessing of Norman as well, Lord, and give him strength to do the work that needs to be done with Mark. Give him both strength, Father. Keep them safe, keep them loving. Bless my wife too, Father, she ministers and looks after me as well. Lord, just give her the needs to do that, Lord. I ask for her children, my grandchildren here and around in England, Lord, that you just give us the words to speak at the appropriate time, Father, and only the words that you would know at the time that they would need to hear. Lord, that you would, they would turn, Lord, and just have the chance at least to consider you a Savior, Lord, and just repent, Lord. Please be a blessing to see them all saved. So our neighbours and friends and so many people to pray for. And all the petitions and prayers and the prayer sheet and the private prayers as well, Lord. Bless them and grant them, please, I beg you. And our souls be saved this day. Bless Israel too, Father, if you will. Lord, that we desire the souls be saved with your children Israel as well. And grant peace in Jerusalem too, Lord. Praise God. Please, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. Amen. If you've been to any of the services in Bethel, you know that Ezra and Nehemiah are books in the Old Testament that are of particular interest to me, especially when read in conjunction with Daniel. Daniel talked about the 70 weeks that God had determined upon Israel. And he said that as soon as you see or hear of the command going forth to rebuild Jerusalem, it'll be 483 years after that the Savior rides into Jerusalem on an ass, the foal of an ass, to be crowned as king one day nearly and then crucified as worse than a murderer and a thief the very next. So I'm very interested in Nehemiah, but not actually going to be speaking on prophecy this evening. But before we get into our subject, which is the prayer, the long and short of it, just a few words on these portions of God's word. Probably one of the best examples of what ways we need to pray. Two examples of the ways we need to pray. As we start the book of Nehemiah, children of Israel are still in bondage. They're under the jackboot of the Medes and the Persians right now. And things have not been going well for them. God said, don't resist the Babylonians as they come and get you. Daniel showed us the handover from the Babylonians to the Medes and the Persians. That happened in the latter years of Daniel's life. And here we are at under the jackboot of the Medes and the Persians. And the Lord has been preparing the hearts of some people to see to the restoration of Israel. This wasn't just Joe Public. This wasn't just an ordinary man that we're reading about. Nehemiah wasn't. He was the king's cupbearer. He was a very important person. His neck was on the line if the king ever got sick, or indeed, as you read there in verse number 2, in chapter number 2, even if he annoyed the king, his neck was on the block. Remember when, if you just look there, Nehemiah comes before the king and he's upset. And the king says, why are you sad? And he said he was very sore afraid. It wasn't because he was going to get docked his pay. He might have got docked his neck. And so, Nehemiah not only was very close to the king, but he was prepared to follow God. And that's the most important thing. It is really not your position or your education or your physicality or your whatever it is that you can lay your hands on in this life that marks you apart for God, it is the amount of space that you make in your life for God that marks you apart from everybody else and marks you as ready for service for God. I hope that makes sense. And as we start reading this portion of scriptures, Nehemiah asks, what about Jerusalem? And this chappy, Hanani, he tells them they're in bad shape. The place, Jerusalem's pretty much totaled. Place is a wreck, and the people that are there are in very, very bad shape. And this has obviously been in Nehemiah's mind for a time, but this is the part, this is the prayer, if you like, this is the turning point. And as we look at it, we see there's four or five stages, if you want to call it that, for making sure your prayers are heard. Notice I didn't say making sure your prayers are answered, but making sure that your prayers are heard. And the first one is to be prepared, is to prepare in your heart to meet with the Lord. The Lord is not going to save you or deal with you if you come. I have heard of people and these great altar calls they have in these churches, and the kids go up and they're chewing gum and they're carrying on and they're nudging people. People like that don't need to be saved. They need a good slap in the ear, a toe up the backside. They don't need to be saved. They can't be saved. I have never seen a soul saved laughing and joking and chewing gum. You need to have a broken and a contrite heart and well aware of your position in God's presence, which should be on your hands and knees. Spiritually speaking, I know some people's knees, mine included, don't like being kneeled upon for many hours. Not anymore anyway. But we need to be prepared. We need to break up the hard ground of our hearts. Remember the parable that the Lord told of the good ground, the thorny ground, the stony ground, and the wayside. And we need to be prepared to break up the hard ground of our hearts and humble ourselves and go to God and admit that we're wrong. There's preparation needed of our hearts. There's also a repentance needed as well. We need to be ready, as I said, to admit that we've been doing things wrong, even as a Christian. And say, "What, you know what, Lord? Things really haven't progressed any. Things haven't gotten any better. In fact, if anything, they've gotten a little bit worse. I must be doing something wrong, Lord. I know you never change, yesterday, today, or forever. So it must be me, Lord, would you show me?" And you know what? The Lord will, because he wants a close walk with us. And then we need to confess where we've been wrong, even outstanding sin. That is sort of putting a roadblock between us and God. Not a roadblock to the relationship, but a roadblock to the fellowship, to the back and forth. And we need to be ready to say, "Well, you know, Lord, I've been doing that and I've been doing this." And this is what Nehemiah did. He repented for, he confessed his own shortcomings, but he also confessed on behalf of the rest of the children of Israel, their shortcomings. And sometimes you may even have to do that. We may need to pray to intercede on behalf of other people. And whenever we've cleared the decks, does anyone recall to mind, and I think it's in the book of Acts, where the scriptures mention, if you have an issue with a brother or sister in the church, before you come to the Lord's table, make sure you get that issue sorted out. And it's the same with the Lord. Before you start saying, "Lord, I want," you need to get on the same page as the Lord. You need to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. The Bible promises if you do that, he'll lift you up in due time. And he did that very thing for Nehemiah. Nehemiah, then after he had cleared the decks with the Lord, petitioned the Lord at the very, very end. He asked the Lord to work in the king's heart to grant him his desire, which was the rebuilding of Jerusalem. And all those things, it wasn't a 5-minute prayer. It wasn't a 10-minute prayer. It wasn't even an hour of prayer. And I am sure we could get to an hour or maybe more of prayer. That wouldn't be a big stretch. We might have to organize a few things in our lives. We might have to push a few people. We might have to make dinner a bit later or lunch a bit earlier and squeeze in maybe a couple of hours. This took days. In fact, the Word of God says he mourned and fasted certain days and prayed before the Lord of heaven in chapter 1, verse number 4. The people were in bad shape and they needed divine intervention. As we move on to the next verse, it's not that very long afterwards, with all of that preparation in place. It's obviously weighing very heavy on Nehemiah's mind because his face is sad. Have you ever had a sadness that just, no matter what, nothing in this world can lift the corners of your mouth, can turn that frown upside down? And this is the way Nehemiah was that concerned for the object of his prayer, the city of his forefathers. And he stands before the king, King Artaxerxes, and he's got a frown on his face. Back in the day, no social services, no human rights. If you didn't do your job, especially in the king's courts, you were executed for your bother. And the king said to him, "What's wrong with you?" And I want for you to notice, in verse number 4, it says, "The king said unto me, What dost thou make request?" The next words are, "So I prayed the God of heaven and said to the king." He didn't get down on his hands and knees and spend many hours fasting in the presence of the king. He had done that already. He had laid the foundation. He had prepared his heart. He had confessed his sins. He had repented for himself and petitioned the Lord for everything. And now we can't come to the fulfillment of that prayer request. And the king said, "Tell me what you want. Tell me what you want." And he said, "King, you know, the city of my forefathers," because bear in mind, they'd been in a foreign land for a couple of generations. "It's lying wrecked. It's deserted. The walls are torn down. The temple's just a mess. I would love to go back and build it." And the king said, "Certainly. You go ahead and do it. Just tell me when you'll be back." I want for you to know something else. Nehemiah just didn't turn from a carousing, swearing, adulterating, fornicating, drug-taking alcoholic at the start of this chapter. He didn't turn from all of those things into a man of God just like that. He had a character. A character that was inclined towards serving God, and for all the years that he was the king's cupbearer, like Daniel in a foreign land, he was faithful. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a foreign land, he was faithful. Like Joseph. Remember Joseph and his coat of many colors? His brothers sold him into slavery, and what was Joseph? He was faithful. Always faithful. And every time he was faithful, every time he was good, every time he did the right thing, and every time he served the king, all of those things built up a picture of Nehemiah's character in the king's head, and the king knew that Nehemiah was a good man. And with just that nudging in his heart, the Lord nudged the king's heart, and the king granted Nehemiah his prayer request. And there are some stories to be read through the rest of Nehemiah, and you should take time and have a look at them. In order to have your prayers answered, and I'm not saying that this is something you put 10p in, you don't put 10p into the God machine and press a button and you get 10p's worth of prayers, or a fiver. It's not the Catholic Church. You don't pay for prayers, you get prayed for free. But there are certain things we need to do if we want our prayers to be heard. And the first thing is to show not just to ourselves, but to God and to the world and to the flesh and the devil that we are prepared to pursue God. That we are prepared to defer to God. Well, first of all, you need to make sure you're saved, but we're taking that as granted. Maybe we shouldn't have taken it as granted. You need to tell God you're sorry for your sins and ask him to save you for the endless ages of eternity. And then you start your prayers. Make sure you're in good terms with God, and that normally involves being in church. Spending time in your Bible. Reading, studying, memorizing, preaching, teaching, and applying. Applying to your own life. And all the things, the moderating influences, the words of God rummaging around in your head, they'll affect you. And they'll affect you in a good way, in a godly way. You need to be prepared. And if there is anything in your life that, if you were to just bring it before God and say, "God, look at this. and God would look at it, and you can honestly say that God wouldn't be happy with it, well then, get it gone. That's it. You need to repent of the things that are holding you back. The things that you're afraid to talk to God about. If you're afraid to talk to him about it or embarrassed to talk to him about it, well then get rid of them, because you and I both know that the only reason we feel like that about things in our lives is because they're not right and we're still entertaining them. We need to confess those things and do something about them in our hearts and minds. And after we've done that and we have cleared the decks, then ask God for what it is that you want. Should it be as simple as, Lord, just get me through tomorrow, or get me through today? Give me my provisions for the day. It says, give us this day our daily bread in the model prayer, doesn't it? And you will find that God does answer your prayers. And sometimes the things that we pray for, we may even find, hey, I don't even need that after all. I don't need a £150,000 sports car. As long as it goes and there's a roof and the electrics are good and the engine's working and turning over, it's a car. And it'll keep me going. I don't need a mansion on a hillside with 15 bedrooms and an ensuite in every room and a 4-car garage with a car for every 2 days and one day on a Sunday. That one's enough. And so on and so forth. You get the idea. I don't need everybody in the town being my best friend. I just need to be a good friend to anybody in the town. There's a whole lot of things that we think we need, but if we honestly review them in the presence of God in prayer, we find out a lot of times they're just a fleshly desire. Let's call it that. There are times whenever we're in church, prayer for a few seconds, even a minute, 2 minutes, that's grand. But how many times have you been working at something, or you've been in a position where you can't assume the prayer position, and you're thinking, oh Lord, help me. And it's just, that's what Nehemiah did, didn't he? I prayed the Lord of heaven. And sometimes it is a prayer of a few seconds. I remember one time driving down to Enniskillen when there was about a half a foot of snow on the ground, and I was driving towards Victoria Bridge, and I thought, these people, these lightweights, they're driving far too slow. So I pulled out of the row of traffic to overtake, and I saw another car coming in the distance and thought, I'm just going to hit the brakes very, very gently and coast back in. And I hit the brakes and the car started going this way. And then the car started going that way. And I started drifting towards the tree. And I prayed, Lord, don't let me hit that tree. And the car swung back across the road with my tail in the hedge. And I thought, I'm still alive. The engine's still running, and I put it in gear and pulled back out into traffic. I'm sure people were having kittens in the other cars. But there you go. There was no time for me to ring the pastor and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm in a bit of a position here. There was no time for me to get my hands and knees in the car. That would have killed me for sure. I just said, Lord, please help me. And sometimes that is all the time we have a prayer for. And that is all the prayer that is required. But that prayer only sits on the back of hours of time in God's presence. Of honest confession. Of real preparation. And you can tell. You can tell pretty well what's going on in people's hearts and minds. God knows straight away what's on your mind. And believe it or not, We're not as clever as we think we are. We can never fool God. We might fool ourselves, and we might fool other folks for a little bit. But as I used to say to folks, God knows right away, and I find out sooner or later. Be honest and truthful in your prayers. You're not fooling anybody. And be consistent. It says in James that if you're dilly-dallying and dithering back and forwards, don't even waste your time. It says a double-minded man's unstable in all his ways, and don't let that man think he'll receive anything from God. Pursue the Lord. Now, in Matthew 24, it says, if they ever say God is in desert places, don't believe it. Or if he's somewhere else, don't believe it. That's not, we don't have to hop in a car and go to visit God. We can get down on our hands and knees beside our bed and visit with God. We can be sitting at our dinner table or our tea table or your kitchen table, and you can just close your eyes and bow your head and visit with God. But sometimes we need to make an effort, a proper effort. And we need to switch off our phones, and we need to close the door, and maybe if we do need to tip the blinds so that we have a bit of peace and quiet. And we need to honestly cultivate a love for the presence of God. Because far too many Christians find it an inconvenience to spend time in God's presence. Oh, I've got the grass to cut, and I've got the car to take in for a service, and I have to get the shopping and the hoovering needs done, and the ironing needs done, and I have to lay concrete, and I have to do that, and all of these things I have to do before whatever. God's going to have to wait for another day. And I have this wee picture in my head that people like that, what does it say? If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. God, I'll get back to you another day. And then that person's praying, oh Lord, Lord, my life's at stake. And God's saying, I'll get back to you on that another day. If you want God to answer your prayers like that, well then, you treat God like that. You talk to God like that. And he'll treat you just exactly the same. If you're saved, you're still going to heaven. But there's a lot, just like having a good friend. There's a lot more than just ringing up when you need to borrow a pint of milk or a cup of sugar. There's fellowship. There's favors. There's honest to goodness love for your fellow man. There's the love of God and the responsibility that he has placed on yours and yours alone. Our shoulders, not collectively, but individually. To reach out to the people around and about us. And I am going to tell you here and now, it's not something you do on a whim. Because people are watching you, people that whose opinions you value, whose companies you enjoy. And it takes a bit of wisdom and godly power to speak to them about their souls, because you know what will happen when you speak to people around about you about their souls, don't you?
I don't want anything to do with you, you holy Joe.
Isn't that the way it goes? Something like that.
Or if you ever say anything like that to my wife, stroke kids, stroke husband, stroke mother, stroke father again, I'll have the police on you. Or words to that effect.
We need the prayer because that's where the power is. We need the word of God because that's where the power is. We need the presence of God because that's where the power is. What does it say in Romans 1? Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The word of God in your heart. The Holy Spirit being fed and watered with the word of God in your heart. And then you pursuing the Lord with all your heart. And a wee flake of that power will be available to you to use day by day. So that you are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And so that, okay, if I tell my friends I'm saved and I went to church, so what? My real friends will still be my friends after I tell them about the great things that God did for me and that I go to church and read my Bible. Those who only care about having a thrill and feeling good, well, they're going to go elsewhere because the gospel has that sort of effect on people. It generally convicts them of their sins.
Prayer's important. If it wasn't for the times that, I'll give you another example, whenever, and I've shared this one with you before, when we were over in just off of Skeg Bypass there, I think it's the first on the left, there was a radio show on, and it was telling us how it sounded like they were burning the place to the ground. They were rioting, and cars were on fire, and this, that, and the other. And this was the morning of the night that we would normally go out tracking. And I actually had a wee word of prayer with the Lord and said, Lord, I'm feeling a bit nervous about going tracking out here. More than that, I'm feeling a bit concerned for taking Brother Billy with me. Because Brother Billy, if there was any trouble, I don't think he wouldn't have been able to run, and he wouldn't have been able to handle himself. And I thought, you know what? I'm afraid for Billy, and I'm a bit concerned for myself. And I prayed the Lord about it, and the Lord, He sent down a multitude of angels. And they marched from one end of Skeg to the other, and they took away all those filthy sinners, and they put out all the fire. No, he didn't. He just said, switch the radio off. Don't go listening to that rubbish and you'll be fine. And that's what I did. Sometimes the answers to our prayers are really, really simple and straightforward. Other times they involve many people's hearts and minds being touched, but you know what? We don't know what God's doing in the background. All we need to know is God. Our place in His presence. That He is available to us at any time of the day or night. Whether it's just a matter of you walking out like you would to a loved one. I love you and I'll see you later. Or whether you're in and you say, Lord, put on the kettle for a cup of tea. I'm going to stay in your presence for a while, if that's okay with you. Regardless. That's pretty much the long and short of prayer. And there's all the ones in between. There's the ones we have in the middle of a church service. I don't think I could have had one of our prayers whenever the car was spinning around in that icy road, heading for a tree. There's prayers of 2 seconds, there's prayers of 2 minutes, and there's prayers of 2 hours, and prayers of multiple days. And in there somewhere you will find at any given time, in any given situation, the prayer that you need. But you prepare yourself, confess your sins, clear the decks between you and the Lord, repent of anything that's going wrong, ask Him what you want to ask Him, and don't be, He knows what you want, ask Him. And then wait and see what the Lord's will is. I think sometimes we're afraid of praying because we're afraid God's going to say, nope, or I was just japing you. I'm not really here at all, and I'm not going to answer any of your prayers. Do you remember a fellow, Joab, one of David's men, we spoke on a month or two back? And David's men were horrendously outnumbered. Joab and his brother, they just split the children of Israel's soldiers in two. And Joab says to his brother, I can't remember his name right now, he says, you fight those guys, and I'll fight those guys. And if you're having a bit of bother over there, I'll come and help you. And if I'm having a bit of bother over here, you come and help me. And the Lord do what seemeth Him good. And we need to be ready to accept what the Lord's will is. You may find, whenever you haven't been looking, that a horde of angels did indeed come down and fight all those battles for you in men's hearts. It might be glorious, and it might be grand, and it might be something. You can't wait to stand up in church and say, do testimonies, the Lord did this for me today. Or it might just be as simple as the Lord saying, turn that stupid radio off. Turn up the beeper instead of radio. But either way, the Lord's listening for you. And it would benefit you. It benefits us all to have a bit more time in his presence and a bit less time in the world's presence. Thank you for your good time, and God bless you. Amen. You know what the preacher said one time? He said, you stand up, you speak up, and then you shut up. And that's me shutting up. Except for the singing bit. Has anybody got a favourite they would like for us to close with this evening? Go ahead, Mrs. Brett. 361. Did you think to pray? There you go. If you're able, we'll stand and sing. 361. Did you think to pray?
Hey, you left her room this morning.
For your good time. God bless you. Don't forget and pray for Pat. She's dealing with a 6-year-old tomorrow. Oh, sorry, 67-year-old. I left out one of the numbers. Please pray for Steve as he gets to be 67 tomorrow. Happy birthday to you. Preemptively tomorrow.
Please pray for Brother Mark.
Brother Steve.
Anyway, let's close our eyes and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time in your house and in your presence. Please bless us as we go our separate ways. And bless Steve, and this is 67th. We love you and thank you. We pray all this, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.